my God. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. We serve a great God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you're a father in the congregation today, I'm going to ask you just for a moment to stand. If you're a father, all my fathers today, stand. If you're here today and you're a father, please stand. This is Father's Day. I think Father's Day, if I got my history right, started back in 1922 in this country. Long time, third Sunday of June that this has been going on. And, you know, we hear a lot about what's going to change America and what's going to help redirect the direction of America. Can I tell you, it's not preachers. Now, we need some good Bible-preaching preachers.
Amen.
But they can't do it alone.
Right.
It's not politicians.
Right.
We need some good, honest statesmen in office. But you're looking at the individuals. Fathers is what's going to help change the direction of this country.
Amen.
Good, God-fearing spirit-filled men that will lead their families after the commandments of this book. Men, happy Father's Day to you. God bless each one of you. Amen. You may be seated. I'm thankful for good godly men, good godly fathers. And some of you, well, God's given you fathers. Some of you men, you're not fathers yet, but He's given you children in your loins. And one day, you'll be a father. And as a father, I pray that you'd be a good godly father. Direct your children, direct your family to serve God, to honor God with their lives. If you have your Bible open, and you should, to Genesis chapter number 6, I'm going to preach to you about a father. Before I do, I want to say that Brother Benny has handed me the total for the penny offering, everything that we do here at Fellowship Baptist Church financially, above board. And so I want to tell you that the children are going to have to start off tomorrow's penny offering from the giving, $770. And so praise the Lord for that. And we'll just see what God has for us. The children love the penny offering. Listen, if you've never been to Vacation Bible School at Fellowship Baptist Church, if for no other reason, and there are many, you ought to come just to watch children give. You know what it does? It teaches us how we ought to give. You know, I remember when we were doing a penny offering in another church where I was heading up Vacation Bible School, I made that statement, Brother David, and a lady come up to me and she said, well, you know, it's easy to have joy like that and excitement when you're giving someone else's money. I said, ma'am, it's all someone else's money. It's God's money. Amen. We need never lose sight that God has made us stewards. We're stewards, so don't think what you have is yours. Amen. It's on loan from God. Invest it into the right things. Invest your life into the right thing. And when you come down to the end of your life, you'll look back over it and say, I'm glad I did. Amen. So many people come to the end of their life and look back and say, oh, I wished I would have. You don't have to be that person. Do the right thing. Amen. Honor God with your life. Serve the Lord with gladness. And when you look back over your life, you too can say, I'm glad that I did. And you can enter into His presence and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well, we have a man here that usually when we think about fathers, we don't think about this man. There's something that we do think about this man here when we think about him. If I were to say, fill in the blank, you know Noah. Noah, the man of the Bible, the one who built the ark. That would be what people would fill in the blank. But did you know that Noah built something else? He did. Actually, what Noah built was used to repopulate the earth with humankind. And so it's not just the ark. When I read the scripture, Noah did build an ark. After God told him, if you'll look in chapter number 6, look down if you would in verse number 14. The Bible says here, when God commanded Noah, He said, make thee an ark. Noah, make an ark. Build an ark, Noah. And Noah, he's like me, and I believe he was a preacher of righteousness. Amen. Now, the Bible didn't say he was a righteous preacher, but he was a preacher of righteousness. I believe he was a righteous preacher. He preached righteousness. And he probably said, I'm a preacher. I'm not an ark builder. Amen? Now think about this with me. They say professionals built the Titanic. Didn't have a good ending. I regret that happened. An amateur built the ark. Fared pretty well. Now you think about that for a moment. I'm telling you, brother, when you get God involved in things, it stays afloat. And don't sink with your own way now. Don't sink in your own pride. Don't sink in your own doing. There's so many people that say, I've got this. I can do this, you know. We don't need God. The unsinkable, they said, you know. God Himself couldn't sink it. Well, it's on. But an amateur, never built one before, I'd say he was an amateur, built a boat that all the wrath that this world had to throw at it didn't sink. Now, I want you to chew on that for a while, and you'll know why it's important to get God involved in your life. Amen. Now, I want you to look at some things with me here, okay? When I look at these scripture, and I see what's taking place here, we have a picture of the what's called the antediluvian age, the age of before the flood. And, I mean, times were bad. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, brethren, I believe that's where we are. And if you'll parallel, we're not going to do it this morning, if you'll parallel the days of Noah and where we are today, you'll see, well, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Now, when I think about Noah building the ark, I see what Noah did in order that that ark would make it through the storm. I want you to notice something with me. Notice, if you would, chapter number 7. I said chapter 7, chapter 8. I'm sorry, I've got it marked here in my Bible. Chapter 8, Noah built the ark, but this is why that ark made it through the storm. Notice what else Noah built. Now, men, God has told you to build something. You may say, well, I'm a preacher, I'm a plumber, or I'm an electrician, or I'm a painter, I'm a computer analyst, or I'm a doctor, and I can't build that ark. Well, listen, you can do all things when you get God involved. Whatever God tells you to build, you build it. Noah just didn't build an ark. He built something far more important than an ark. He built a family. He built a family. And I'm going to talk to you about this man Noah. Some things I see in the scripture that's really telling about the character of this man Noah. Look in chapter 8, and this is how Noah built an ark that withstood the storms of life and the test of time. Verse number 20. Not only did Noah build an ark, Noah built an altar unto the Lord. So before you get into the ark building business, always remember, you need God. Before you get into the building business of any sort, always consult with the one who's given the blueprint. That's the way you can be sure that your ship will reach its destination. I want to ask you men something. Fathers, men of our congregation, do you have family altar? Are you building an altar in your home? Are you pointing your children to God, to Jesus Christ? Do your children see God in your life? Do my children see God in my life? What matters to you? What matters to us? Is it money? Is it sports? Is it fame? Is it partying? Is it the good life? Is it doing what we want to do? Or does God matter to us? What really matters to people? Because I'm going to tell you something. Dads, no matter how much we try to get away from this, our children are going to follow in our footsteps. They're going to follow in our footsteps. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse number 15b, a child left unto himself will bring his, watch it now, mother to shame. What do you mean? That means, dads, you better get involved. You better get involved in being a dad. You get involved in being a father. You get involved in being a God influencer in your home. Don't you leave that to mama. Now, thank God for good, godly mothers. Everybody say amen with me. Thank God for good, godly ladies. But men, you hold the key. You're the father. You're the leader of your home. Not appointed by this preacher, not appointed by this country, but God has ordained you the leader. Lead your family spiritually. Build an altar so that when you build a family, it'll stand the storms of life. I want to give you some things about this man right here in the scriptures. We turn back to Genesis chapter number 6. The first thing I want you to notice about Noah is I want you to notice that he was a faithful man. Would you write that down? Noah was a faithful man. Now, Noah lived in a day. I want to show you some things. I'm not going to go into great detail with this, but I want to show you something about the day that Noah lived in. See, I hear people all the time give me a statement similar to this, all right? They say, well, you know, preacher, these are perilous times we live in. I've got to say amen to that. Preacher, our young people are under such bad influence. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Preacher, I mean, the world's gone crazy. I mean, it just seems like that the whole world just is diving off the precipice, jumping into hell, preacher, with no concern about their soul and God and righteousness. Well, you look around you, it's kind of hard to dispute that, isn't it? It really is. Even our churches are taking wrong turns, brethren. Even Christians, listen, just wrong turns, getting out of God's will, doing that that is directly against the teaching of God's word. Watch what the Bible says. Look at it. Verse number five of Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. You following? The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts and of his heart was only evil continually. Now that's what God's word says about the society of Noah's day. Well, you know, preacher, I'm the only Christian down there at the job. Preacher, you know, I'm the only Christian in my neighborhood. I'm the only believer in my society. I'm the only believer at my school and my team. I'm the only believer, preacher. Noah was the only believer in his society. The only, you got it? There was a day when Noah and his family were the only one serving God. So we can't say, well, you know, preacher, we can't do it. Noah did it. And you know what? If I want to do it, I can do it. It's a choice. If you want to do it, you can do it. It's a choice. It's a choice. Yes, we live in an evil day. Yes, every man is doing that which seemeth right in his own eyes. But if we choose to serve God, we can serve God. And I say, let God be true and every man a liar. Let's do what God said. Okay, man? Amen. Let's honor God with our lives. Let's teach our children that God is worth serving. Let's teach our children that God is worth serving. That we are to humble ourselves and let God direct our lives. Noah was a faithful man. Now, Noah, listen, you're not going to get, when I show you this scripture, you're not going to get this kind of family by playing ball on Sunday. Hunting and fishing on Sunday. Doing your thing on the Lord's day. Using God as a crisis God. That's not the way you get a family that serves God. You want a family that serves God? You say, well, preacher, my children are small and they all going to serve God. Well, I hope they do. I hope they do. And I know God wants every one of them to do that. But now, Dad, you listen to me. You hold the key. You hold the key. What's important to you? You say, I'm making a lot of money. They don't need your money. They need you. Somebody say amen with me now. I'm paying the bills. God can't pay your bills. I'm not saying you should stay home and not work. What I am saying is that if you'll put God first, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, this book right here has promised us, brethren, that God will meet our needs. We need some fathers that will put God first and make God the Lord of their life. Notice what the scripture says. Noah was a faithful man. Look, if you would, in verse number 8 of chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. That means he had a right standing before God. Noah was a just man and perfect. That means that he was spiritually mature. That means that people couldn't say, well, he calls himself a believer and needs this and that. That he was not constantly going against the clear teaching or the clear evidence of what God wanted in life. So he was a just man and he was perfect in his generations. Watch this now. And Noah walked with God. That was a decision that Noah made. God didn't come up to Noah and hook him on the arm and say, come on, buddy, you going with me. Noah made a conscientious decision of his own will, of his own volition. I'm going to walk with God. Amen? Listen, I could do this, I could do that, I could go this way, I could go that way, but I'm making a decision. I'm going to walk with God. Have you made that decision? Dad, have you made that decision? You see, your sons and your daughters are watching. And they know. They know what's important to us. We can tell them all we want what's important to us, but you know, they know what's important to us is what we spend our time doing. What we dedicate our lives to, that's what's important to us. Now, don't you get me wrong. I appreciate every man in this room that works and provides for his family. The Word of God says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And the Bible says if he won't work and provide for his home, he's worse than an infidel. Does the Bible teach that? Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. That same Bible says that the man is the leader of his home, and he ought to set the example, and that man ought to, listen, he ought to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to him. That's what the Word of God teaches. Noah was a faithful man. How was he faithful? You think that people came to Noah and told him how crazy he was? Never rained before. Noah said, "We're going to build an ark." "What are you building an ark for? What's an ark?" "Well, it's a boat. God said there's going to be a flood." "Wait, what, a flood? What's a flood?" "Well, God said they're going to cover the earth with water." I'm sure they just laughed and jeered. You know, the way they do you down at the job sometime. The way they do you and I out in public when we tell them we serve the one true and living God. Huh? I wonder if Noah's children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, you think they had pressure? "Man, your dad's a nut." My children probably heard that more than once. Don't laugh too hard. Your children heard it too. "Your dad's crazy. He's a nut." But Noah stuck with God, didn't he? Noah walked with God. He was faithful. Let me show you something. Look, if you would. God said in verse number 14 of Genesis chapter 6, he said, "This is what I want you to do here, Noah." I think it's very interesting. Let me point this out. It's very interesting that after verse number 9 says that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations and that he walked with God, look at verse number 10. Noah begat three sons. Noah became a dad. Amen. Listen, you're going to become a dad? You better get in the right standing with God. Amen? Amen. You better be walking with God. Being a father is a very, very heavy responsibility. Amen, dads? Right? I mean, we bear a lot. We do. Now, thank God for good mothers, too. But men, listen to me now. Listen to me. We are the key. We are the key. As the father goes, so goes the home. As the father leads, that's the direction that home's going in. You say, "I let my wife lead, preacher." You better listen. You better read this book now. And you better know what this book teaches. You're headed in the wrong direction. Doesn't matter what the world says. This book says, sir, you are going to be held accountable and responsible for your home and children. Amen. Now, we've got some good godly men in this congregation. I praise God for the men of Fellowship Baptist Church. Good godly men. God-fearing. God-honoring men who serve God with their life. And I praise God for every one of them. And I look across here, and I just see some of these good young men, and it's a good testimony. Young men, look, just sitting throughout the congregation, look like young men. Amen. They act like young men because they are young men. They want to serve God with their life. Why? For the most part, because they see dad wanting to serve God. They see dad putting Jesus first. They're in church today because dad's in church. You listening to me? That's the way it happens, brethren. Listen, the research has been done. Take away just for a moment what the Bible teaches. Just for a moment now. And in our own minds, let's reason this. The research has been done. The answers are in. Children follow the footstep of their father. It's in. You're going to live a life of sin and debauchery? You're going to live a life of looseness and immorality? Don't you expect your children to serve God and live pure and moral? Hear me now. This is a warning. Listen, God gave Noah a warning. How did he do it? Look here, verse number 8 again. But Noah found grace. It repented God in verse number 7 that he had made man. "I'm going to destroy the earth." He said, "But Noah, I'm going to give you an opportunity to save yourself and your family. I want you to build an ark." Verse number 14 says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." Noah could have said, "Well, I don't know. Now listen, I'm a preacher. I'm not really sure if I'm a builder." He didn't do any of that. I'm going to show you what the Bible says he done. Look, if you would, verse number 22. Genesis 6, verse 22, the Bible says, we're talking about Noah being a faithful man. I love this verse of Scripture. Genesis chapter number, did I say 8? I meant 6. Genesis 6, verse 22. "Thus did Noah." What'd you do, Noah? What you wanted to do? Did you do what the world around you was doing, Noah? No, "thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." I like that testimony, Noah. You're a faithful man. Now, men, listen to me. This is the way God wants us to live. The commandments are there. They're in this book right here. They're in this book. And God expects us to know them and keep them. He does. And we have a choice. Noah made a conscientious choice to walk with God. And part of that choice was this, verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. You know, that's what I want my testimony to be, and I believe that's what you want your testimony to be. On this Father's Day, I pray that that is your testimony. Noah was a faithful man. But not only was Noah a faithful man, the Bible teaches that Noah was a family man. Would you write that down? He was faithful now. Now, Dad, be faithful. Be faithful. Serve God with your life. Do right. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to your family. Be faithful to your duty and responsibility. If you have stepped up to do something, do it. Follow through. If you have put your hand to the plow through. Finish the job. Amen. Amen. Be faithful with your life. I'm amazed. Listen, I've been doing this for a long time. Some of you have been in church longer than I've been alive. And you've seen it too. You've seen it too. We have folks that won't serve God, and they'll come to the preacher and say, "Preacher, can you get my son something to do?" Listen to me now. If you're not willing to serve God, don't expect your children to serve God. They're watching you, sir. Listen to me. They're watching you. And if you're not willing to serve God, in that child's mind, they may never say this to you. They may never say this to you, but I'm going to say it to you for them. Because they respect you and honor you, and I'm glad that they do. But they're wondering, if this God that you want me to serve is worth serving, why aren't you serving Him? And you know, they have a pretty good argument, don't they? I mean, if God is all this, and God is all that, and God is worth serving, and God is worth giving up my time and my effort and putting my investment into, why aren't you serving Him? Well, we want you to serve Him, son. It'll keep you out of trouble. That's not the reason you serve God. You serve God because you love Him. Amen. You serve God because He's worthy. Amen. And so we've got this thing mixed up. And we think it's the preacher, the church's place, or the Sunday school teacher's place to coerce and to coax our children into serving God. No, it's Dad's place and Mom's place. But Dad's a leader to lead their family into serving God. And the best way to do it is not coach them and not talk them into it. Set the example. You serve God and your children will serve God. I could take the time right now, okay? The bearded one. Stand up, Brother Dave. It's Vacation Bible School Sunday. It's Father's Day. This man right here does a great job with our juniors. All right? He and his wife. Now listen, he's got a great helpmeet. By the way, behind every good man is a better woman. No, a good woman. Amen. Good man right there. Stand up, Brother David. Stand up, brother. All right? There's a connection here. But it doesn't end there. Stand up, Dr. Thompson. You see? Listen, you know what? I don't know what God has for little Davy, but I know it's only by the grace of God. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but there's some human element involved here too. There's some human choice. Noah walked with God. He made a choice. This man made a choice that influenced this man who made a choice, that influenced this man who's making a choice, who one day, little Davy Thompson, is going to serve God. I mean, right? I mean, that's the pattern here. You see a pattern? Serve God. Serve God. Serve God. Why should I expect anything different? Thank you, man. You may be seated. Did you know I could go around this congregation and do that? Listen, over and over again. Dad, serve God. Son, serve God. Son, grandson. Why would I expect any different? But there's a flip side of that, too. There's people that are just in and out and off and on and inconsistent. Now, I'm not saying that every child that doesn't serve God, it's their parents' fault. This is not the Oprah show. This is a Bible-believing church. We believe that every person is responsible for their own actions. However, each child is influenced by their father's actions. Amen. And this book teaches that. The Bible says Noah served God. He was a faithful man, but he was a family man. Look, if you would, in chapter number 7. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says in chapter 7, verse 7, that Noah went in and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him into the ark. What about that? They followed him. He was a family man. Noah wasn't doing it for himself only. He realized that his life would have an impact on his family. Glad day in my life that somebody looked me square up in my face, listen to me now, looked me in the eye and said, and this was a deacon of the church I pastored, and he said, Pastor, he said, remember something. Don't expect out of your children what you're not willing to give. So, wow, I never really thought about that much before. But I'm glad that that man loved me enough as his pastor when Sharon and I were young Christians and young parents to tell me that. You want your children to serve God, you better train them up in the way they go. Right? Right? Got to set that right example for them. You do. So, well, we're just going to drop them off at church on Sunday, preacher, and hope for the best. Oh, my goodness. Listen to me. Children, they're such value. They're priceless. We can't take that attitude with our children. We can't take that attitude. Chapter 7, you there? Look at verse number 13. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah. And then their wives, you know, and his wife. Why? He's a family man. Before Noah built that ark, he built a family. And he built a people that would trust him. A people that seen him walk with God. A people that knew, my dad, my father-in-law, whatever, my husband loves God. He's walking with God. And I'm going to trust him and follow him. I wonder if your family can say that. I wonder if my family. I want my family to follow me as I follow Christ. That's not asking too much, is it? Is it, men? It's not asking too much. This is Father's Day. You know, and I'm not going to get off on this, but it kind of makes me sick in my gut. The way Hollywood portrays the average American dad. He's a goon. He's some goofy goon who can't even tie his own shoes. His wife bosses him around and his children tell him what to do. Can I tell you, that don't fly at my home. And if it flies at yours, you need to change airlines. Say amen with me. I'm going to tell you something, brethren. That Hollywood crowd, this world knows nothing about what this book teaches. We are to serve God with our lives, and we are directly responsible for our families. Amen. So, he was interested in his family. I believe you're interested in your family. I want my family to serve God. Notice, if you would, we'll look at a couple more scriptures here. Chapter 8, verse number 15. God spake unto Noah. See, when you walk with God, God will speak to you. See, I'm not hearing from heaven much, preacher. Are you walking with God? God just kept on speaking to Noah. Why? Because God kept doing what Noah kept doing what God commanded him to do. Did you know God will keep speaking to you if you'll just keep doing what God commands you to do? He will. Now, the quickest way to cut God's voice off in your life is quit doing what he says do. The Bible says here in chapter 8, verse number 15, the scripture says, God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth into the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Family. Verse 18, Noah went forth, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives. Amen? You see, there's a family theme here. So Noah was a faithful man, but he was a family man. Now, I want to switch gears for just a couple of minutes before I close here. I want you to listen to me very carefully. You may be sitting here and you say, well, you know, preacher, I've heard this and I've failed. I've messed up. I'm not saying you have. I'm saying you may think that in your heart. You know your life before God. You know your life before the Lord. And there may be somebody, just one, sitting under the sound of my voice, say, I have failed. I have not been faithful. And I haven't put my family in priority with my family. What can I do? Is life done for me? Absolutely not. Because not only does the Bible tell us the good things about a man, I'm glad it tells us the bad things also. You see, there's no perfect people. You understand that. Though there's good fathers in this congregation, there's not a perfect father among us. Not one among us. We've all made our mistakes and we've fallen short. We all have chinks in our armor. Here's a man who was faithful. Whatever God commanded, he did it. Here's a man that God said, I want you to do the hard thing. I have a big task for you. And Noah, he got to it. though I'm just sure there was a lot of questioning and jeering, a lot of mockery, he just went right on through that. He kept his eye on the prize. He kept his eye on the goal. He was faithful. Now you be faithful, sir. Men, we can be faithful. We can be, when we can't be anything else, we can be faithful. And let us be family men. Amen. Spend time with your family. Don't think an hour at Saturday T-ball game is time with your family. Thank God for that time. Don't misunderstand me. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, spend time with your family. Make your family priority, man. It's important. It's important. I know how it is. Listen, there was a day when all four of my children were young and small and grabbing around at my ankles and knees, just like yours. I understand that. But now hear me. There's things that are pulling at our time, and we're pulling us in every direction. Am I right, man? Come on. Am I right? They're pulling us in every direction. This and that. And many of them are good, important things. But there's nothing more important outside of serving God than your family. Your family. Spend time with your family. It's important. You say, well, preacher, well, I failed a little bit and I messed up. I hadn't been as faithful as I could have and should have. And I haven't placed a priority in my family. What can I do? I'm going to show you something about a man who, though he was a good family man, a good faithful man, he was also a faltering man. He messed up. Look, if you would, in chapter 9. This man Noah, good man, godly man, walked with God. The Bible says in chapter number 9, look at verse number 18. The Bible says, the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. Now these are the three sons of Noah. And of them is the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. Imagine that. A farmer built an ark. Amen. A preacher. But he walked with God. He built something more important than an ark. He built his family. But you know what? He made some mistakes. Watch what the Bible says here. The Bible says in verse number 21 that he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Now, I'm not going to go into this. You can read the rest of this. But there is some, listen, there's some impropriety that takes place here. All right? There's some impropriety. And Noah made a poor decision. And we could kick Noah under the bus. It seems like a lot of Baptists like to do that when people make a bad decision, right? Well, let's just kick them under the bus. Let's kick them under the bus. Well, we've been studying in the book of Galatians. That's not what the Bible says do at all. It says restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. So what's going to happen with Noah here? Now, children, I want you to listen to me. Young people, look right up here at the preacher. You may have, and I pray that you do, a faithful father. And I pray that you have a father that is a family man. But your father has some faults. And don't you get angry at God or angry and upset at your dad when he messes up. All right? Everybody messes up. I said everybody messes up. You say, well, I don't like it. Well, you know what? They don't like it when you mess up. Right? Amen. So what are we going to do when somebody messes up? What are we going to do when dad messes up? What are we going to do when Noah messes up? What are you going to do, Dad? What are you going to do? Not just what are the children going to do. What's the wife going to do? What's the preacher going to do? What's the church going to think? What are you going to do? What's the man going to do when he fails God? What's the man going to do when he falls short? Quit. Don't you quit. There's no room in God's kingdom for quitters. Hear me. Hear me now. Don't you ever quit. Fight for your family. Fight for your family. There's some things out there worth fighting for. Say amen with me. Don't you ever quit on your family. The devil wants you to quit. Don't you ever quit. Never. You fight the devil to your last breath. But don't you ever quit on your family. Never. I meet people and they say, well, you know, I'm about to give up, preacher, on my family. Don't you ever give up on your family. I've been praying for my son, preacher. I just don't think God's going to do anything. God's getting ready to do something. Getting ready to break through. Don't you give up on your family. You say, well, I failed, preacher. I failed, and I failed miserably. Well, Noah failed. You know what happened as a result of it? It cost his son Ham. Read it now. And it not only cost his son Ham, but it cost that generation through Ham's line. And a curse was brought on that generation. Read the scripture. So what are you going to do, Noah? Quit? Noah didn't quit. Now, there's consequences for your actions, but he didn't quit. You know why? This is my final point as I close. Faithful man, family man. Yes, he was a faltering man, but thank God he was a forgiven man. I want you to notice God set Noah up before he even failed. I want you to know something now. God already knew you was going to fall before you fail. And God's made a way for forgiveness. Chapter 9, the Bible says, and I'll just read some of these scripture here. Look, if you would, in verse number 11 of chapter 9, the scripture says, God said, I will establish my covenant with you, Noah. I'm a covenant-keeping God, Noah. I'm not going to leave you, son. When you mess up, and when you drop the ball, and when you falter, I'm not going to bail out on you like a lot of people will. I am God, and I'm going to stand by you. I'm going to stand by you, son. I'll stand by you when you're faithful, but I'll stand by you when you falter too. Say amen with me, church. Amen. Aren't you glad that's the kind of God we serve? Amen. See, later, a lot of people will stand by you when you're faithful, but there's just a handful that will stand by when you falter. Now, you're going to falter. And God said, I want to make a covenant, and he made a rainbow. Now, I know we talked about this in Sunday school. You say, well, a rainbow, isn't that a sign of, listen, that's not a sign of gay pride. That's a sign of a God who forgives sin and makes a covenant with people. Made a covenant with this earth. He makes a covenant with people. When you get saved, God made a covenant with you that he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And so God restored Noah, and Noah served God in his life. This wasn't, listen, I'm telling you now, brethren, there's a wise old preacher years ago who used to say often, failure does not have to be final. If it is, it's because you chose for it to be. God never chooses for failure to be final. What about it, dads? On this Father's Day 2017, isn't God good to us? I look back over my life and I see, what a journey. A journey. A lot of folks probably looked at me and said, that old boy, he won't make it out of high school. He's going to OD. He's not going to make it. He's a drug head. He's not going to make it. That's all right. That's what they thought. But God had a plan for my life. God's got a plan for your life too. Let's let God bring that plan to fruition. There's no telling what's locked inside of the men sitting in this building and our offspring. There's just no telling what God has in store. No telling. What's God got in store for your life? What decisions have you made? Have you made a decision to walk with God? You say, preacher, sometimes I find myself walking and I trip up. Well, Noah tripped up too. He did, but he didn't quit. See, the true test of a man's character is not if he quits, or if not, if he falls. It's what he does when he falls. What do you do when you fall? Just lay there, quit, or get up and dust yourself off and say, got to go at it again. Let's all stand. Am I talking to a father today that just needed a reminder of your importance in your home and in society, in God's creation? Am I speaking with a dad today that just needed a little reminder, hey, I'm something, I'm someone, I'm important to God. I'm important to my family. My children need me. I need to stay on what's right, and I need to stay focused on what God has for me and not get sidetracked and lose my focus by the things of this old world. It can happen, can it? It can. Maybe I'm speaking to a dad in here, but you just need a reminder that you need to step it up, that you've dropped the ball, and you just need to hone your skills and dig in a little deeper, get in your prayer closet and humble yourself before God and say, God, I'm sorry. Make that right and serve God with your life. You may even need to call your family together and say, hey, listen, I've taken this thing in a different direction, and I want to ask you to forgive me. I've asked God to forgive me. I'm going to be a better dad. I'm going to be a better servant. I'm going to serve God. Let's serve God together as a family. There may be a father in here that say, preacher, I faltered. I mean, I have faltered. I'm way out. And it's infected a whole line. My sons, my grandchildren. Preacher, I just don't know if God could ever do anything with my life again. Oh, yes, he can. Yes, he can. The question is not if God can do something. The question is, will you allow him? Are you willing? Let's bow our heads just for a moment.